Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman on your radio. You say, Sam, why are you playing so much music? Well, the biggest reason, ladies and gentlemen, is I really want Christmas to last a whole lot longer than just Christmas Day. I want in our hearts and in our minds Christmas to last all year long. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Is that a bad wish, to wish for Christmas all year long? I think not. In fact, I really wish, most importantly, we would behave as Americans like we want Christmas all year long, right? That's really important, if you ask my opinion. It's something that we really need to strive for in America, to have an increased effort towards civility. All right, our guest, ladies and gentlemen, Mark Tapscott. And Mark is with us from the Epoch Times, and he's a congressional correspondent for the Epoch Times. And he has an incredible piece about whether discipline in the House of Representatives has become politicized. And oh boy, by Democrats, but I think it's by Republicans. I think it's by the whole body, at least when it comes to the swamp. Many Republicans, you know what, say they plan, well, to change the game. They want to gain the majority in 2022. And I support that. But only to a point. Every Republican won't do, ladies and gentlemen, because there's a lot of Republicans that are kind of moderate like the Democrats. We got to have real Republicans, Republicans that understand and obey their platform, Republicans who truly care about their oaths of office, about liberty, about financial fiscal restraint, and more. Mark Tapscott, Epoch Times, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir, and Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas to you too, Sam, and I certainly agree with you. It ought to be year-round.
Amen to that. Now, I don't want presents year-round. I'll go broke. But the feeling and the thought and the behavior and the kindness and the respect and the all that is certainly needed sorely in America, not only in Congress, but everywhere, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we really could use a big helping of, you know, we're all in this together, so let's help each other make it.
All right, now you wrote an incredible column in the Epoch Times relating to Congress, really, and about the punishment that people get, or it's really about civility or the lack thereof, right?
Well, the fundamental point of the article is that at the beginning of the year, the Democrats in the House, led by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, made a decision that they were going to begin disciplining members of the minority party, the Democrat or the Republicans, beginning with Congresswoman Marjorie Greene. And she had made some statements, some of them going back 11 years, that were, according to Pelosi and company, were inappropriate, and therefore she should not be allowed to serve on committees.
But hold on, Mark. Don't we believe in free speech?
Well, that's a very good question. And yes, of course, we do. But for Speaker Pelosi, that doesn't apply when you're a Republican, apparently.
Well, shame on that view, because I think the whole genius of America depends on this ability to have your free speech. Even if you don't like what I say, hopefully you agree with my right to say it, because eventually won't it come back on you? When I say you, I don't mean Mark. I mean Nancy and everybody else. Won't that just come back as a divisive no win?
Well, that's exactly the point. And as it happens, Congressman Tom Cole from Oklahoma, who, by the way, I just happened to have gone to high school with many years ago.
Oh, wow.
Tom made the point on the floor during the debate on whether or not to remove Green from her committee assignments that, you know, Tom said basically if, and I pointed this out in my story, if you go down this road, the time will come when you're in the minority and the Republicans will do to you what you are doing to the Republicans today. You need to think about that. And, of course, the Democrats thought about it for about 2 nanoseconds and went right ahead and did it anyway.
And that's really where the rub is, ladies and gentlemen. If Democrats politicize House discipline in 2021 and 2020 and et cetera, which they did, you know what? The GOPers may look to 2023 to even the score. We don't want that, Mark. I don't see any good in that whatsoever, but that's really what's about to happen, right?
Well, it looks like that could very well happen. The odds are that the Republicans are indeed going to retake the majority, certainly in the House and maybe also in the Senate. And there is even now a big debate going on, an internal debate within the Republicans in the House. How do we respond to this? Do we, you know, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, or do we take a higher road, as some of the Republicans suggest, and not retaliate, just continue on being civil to them and hope that, you know, they'll get the message? I have a feeling that there is definitely going to be retaliation of some kind, and I suspect that the Democrats are going to regret some of the decisions that they've made in the past 9 months.
And I want to be very clear. Your article talks about, and this is interesting, a lot of times we think of history repeating itself, Mark, but in this case you say America has never before seen a year like 2021 in the House of Representatives. And we're not just talking about January 6th. But in early February, Republicans warned Democrats that dire consequences would follow their unprecedented decision to move Green, to remove Green. So
yeah.
This is a serious shot across the bow. We've seen nothing but, in my opinion, vitriol since, right?
Well, the amazing thing about it, Sam, is that shortly thereafter, Pelosi made a statement that, regarding January 6th, that the, quote, enemy is within the House. And understandably, Republicans heard that and said, she's talking about us, and she's accusing us by implication of being insurrectionist, which, of course, is nonsense. But then she ordered that there be metal detectors at every door to the chamber of the House, so that if you were a representative and you needed to go to the floor to participate as a representative, you had to go through a metal detector, the implication being you might be carrying a gun or a firearm of some sort. And a number of Republicans, for one reason or another, said, no, we're not going to do that. That's insulting. Or in one case, Congressman Louie Gohmert from Texas, he had to go to the restroom, and somehow or another, the Capitol Police thought he was evading the metal detector. The bottom line is that Gohmert and Congressman Andrew Clyde and a couple of others, I believe, have sued Pelosi and the House Democratic leadership in federal court on this metal detector issue. And beyond that, there's video of Pelosi and other Democrats also evading the metal detectors, but she didn't find them. She didn't find herself. The only people who got fined, and it was pretty substantial fines, $5,000 each, were Gohmert and Clyde. So you have a double standard, obviously, at work here, and that's the kind of thing that really turns anger into bitterness. And I think that's what's happening.
And that's the kind of stuff, Mark Tapscott, that really changes the game. Because traditionally, in the House or other places, you know, if they wanted to have push for misconduct of somebody, it was typically done by either party leaders or, more recently, through an ethics committee with equal representation from both sides of the aisle. No House member had ever been removed for this kind of an idea about what they say on the House floor, on the campaign trail, or as a private citizen. That hadn't been done before. It was usually an ethics violation by action, and it was fair in its delivery, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It is indeed unprecedented. And the one thing you can say about the U.S. Congress, from the very beginning, it has upheld a standard of respect that everybody who is elected to represent their district gets to make their say without having to worry about being silenced. And that's what's at stake here.
And ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is they're ratcheting up allegation and fear is what's happening, with serious repercussions that are partisan in nature. Mark Tapscott with us. Epic times in seconds on your radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Tapscott, our guest from the Epic Times. He's a congressional correspondent, and he's watching this thing and going, whoa, wait a minute. Congressional correspondent basically saying, hey, you know what? Democrats have politicized House discipline to the point of, you know what? There's going to be blowback by the GOP in 2023 if they gain control. And I don't think it's good. And I mentioned that, you know what? This all started really kind of back in February. You know what? This big issue about, hey, these metal detectors by Nancy Pelosi. Look, Republicans were fined, but Democrats were not. It's as partisan as it gets. Well, there's a lawsuit now about this saying, hey, you know what? Does Nancy have authority to levy fines in a partisan way such as this? That's the lawsuit that's pending. But things really came to a head in November, Mark. This has gone on. You thought it might kind of dissipate and blow over, but no, it's ratcheting up, sir.
It is indeed, and over an incident that really is kind of reflects poorly on both sides. Congressman Paul Gosar from Arizona put out basically a cartoon that he clearly did not intend seriously, but it was very easily misinterpreted. It showed him killing Congresswoman AOC from New York, who, of course, is the socialist Democrat that has gotten a lot of attention. And predictably, Pelosi and the House Democrats were, you know, quite upset about that, and they removed him from his committee assignments. So here you have, again, you know, whether what Gosar said was justified, whether it was imprudent, whatever, traditionally, he would have been disciplined by the House Republican Conference and not by the House Speaker and the House Majority, the Democrats. It's the kind of thing that where you get it going and where does it stop? And this thing has continued. Now the Republicans are debating among themselves, if we do go tit for tat, then the same thing that we warned the Democrats this year will be applicable to us next year. So it's a difficult situation to be in.
Now it gets worse, in my opinion, because the double standard is becoming so blatantly obvious that it's impossible to ignore, though. Even though I don't really want the Republicans to engage in lowering the bar, if you will, stooping to the level of the Democrats on this partisan thing, the problem is that it is so blatant. For example, the Democrat that literally slept with a Chinese spy is the one leading this thing, kind of, right?
Well, he certainly has a very prominent role in it. That's Congressman Eric Swalwell from California, who has admitted that he slept with a Chinese spy before he was elected to Congress. But, I mean, my gosh, the guy slept with a Chinese spy, and he's on the Intelligence Committee, and he's leading an effort to punish Republicans who... You know, it's maybe very imprudent to have a cartoon of yourself killing another congressman, but that's not sleeping with the spy for the biggest adversary of the United States. So, yeah, the double standard is blatant and it's obvious, and it contributes to destroying the credibility of Congress. And if Congress ever becomes, you know, without any credibility with the American people, then this country's government is in deep, deep trouble.
Now, Mark, to me, whether you're on one side of the aisle or the other side of the aisle, in my opinion, there's one thing to put out a cartoon, which may not have been the wisest move, but there was no harm intended. It's pretty clear and obvious, even though the Democrats want you to believe the mountain out of the molehill, kind of an idea.
Right.
However, when you have a Democrat that literally sleeps with a Chinese spy, that is literally on the Intelligence Committee for the greatest country on the face of the earth, the United States of America. Sir, that's a national security concern. That's not an opinion. That's not a partisan discussion. That is a serious, serious national security crisis, in my opinion.
Well, he wasn't in Congress at the time. So, you know, he probably skates by on that basis. If he had done it as a sitting congressman, it definitely would be.
Except for what else don't we know about the sleeping of that spy? And if we go ahead and give him security clearance to be added to that commission or that committee later, what could be used against him? We still don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I still don't give him a pass even there.
He shouldn't be on the Intelligence Committee, my gosh. But don't forget, Sam, you've also got other Democrats like Adam Schiff. Also,
but before we get to Schiff, though, the whole reason I focus on this, folks, is if we're going to be kicking people off of committees, but let this guy on that intelligence committee, we have lost our minds. One's a partisan debate. a tit for tat. The other one's a national security concern. Whether it's as it may not be as blatant as if he was sleeping with the spy while he was a congressman, but it's still, who knows what might be held over his head, right?
What might be held over his head, and what kind of relationships has he had since then that he was introduced to by this woman who was a Chinese spy? Because they had a relationship that went for, I believe, several years. And the odds are very good that she connected him to other people who also represent national security problems. So you're absolutely right. This is a very, very serious problem. And frankly, how the Democrats could ever have allowed him to be on the Intelligence Committee of all places is just beyond me.
I agree. Anyway, I wanted to highlight that so our listeners really understand what we're talking about. This is not a tit for tat on Mark and Mike's part. This is a very serious concern. Kevin McCarthy, you were mentioning, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, I mentioned Adam Schiff.
I'm sorry.
Adam Schiff, who is another Democrat.
By the way, there's a lot of people in this incredible article from Mark at theepictimes.com, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead, Mark. Adam Schiff.
Adam Schiff has been the chairman of the Intelligence Committee. The problem with Adam Schiff is he frequently does things as he recently did. He takes evidence that he and his fellow Democrats are using against Republicans, and he alters it to make it say something that it doesn't say. And beyond that, at the very beginning, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, the Democrats, you'll recall, were accusing President Trump of in the Russiagate scandal. He claimed that he had clear and obvious and direct proof that Trump was a tool of the Russians. He's never produced it because fraud, and frankly, it doesn't exist, I'm sure. But he made the claim, and he should have been challenged by people in the media to, you know, okay, put up or shut up. If you've got the evidence, show us. He's never shown us the evidence. And that's just irresponsible. That's the height of irresponsibility.
But hold on. I think it's not only the height of irresponsibility, but I think it borders on libel and slander.
Well, if you're the president of the United States, you're a public figure, so good luck.
Yes, so we say that somehow we can relax those rules or guidelines because somebody's a public figure. But when you make claims that you are an agent of the Russians,
yes,
when it isn't true and there's no facts, that's beyond just, you know, I think you're a goofball, you're ugly, you this, that. You know, you're making claims that literally damage the leader of the free world in ways that are incalculable, sir. So as much as he's a public figure and, yeah, they loosen the standards, I would say this is the whole reason that the libel and slander laws are put in place in the first place. You can't take something that's blatantly, patently false and make a claim that creates such damage even to a public figure, sir, in this case, especially when he has responsibility for relationships for the greatest country around the world, sir. This is a different level, is it not?
Well, except for one fact, Congress in the Constitution has immunity. A member of Congress cannot be sued for something that they say in Congress. And he said it in a committee meeting. So, you know, he got a pass go directly without going to jail card on this one. But my point in it.
Hey, Mark, can you stay with me just a little longer?
Sure. Glad to.
I know we were going to let you go at 30 after, but this is just too good. Can you hang tight? All right, ladies and gentlemen, Mark Tapscott with us. Epic Times. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. Love starts slipping away.
Protecting your liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Between 8,000 and 12,000 shipping containers carrying medical supplies to various parts of the United States are on delay of up to 37 days due to ongoing transportation congestion. That's according to new data from the Health Industry Distributors Association. They say medical supplies that arrived at a U.S. port on Christmas Day won't be delivered to hospitals until February 2022. A House Democrat slammed Vice President Kamala Harris as uninterested and uncooperative on the border crisis. Representative Henry Cuellar of Texas, whose district covers nearly 200 miles of the U.S.-Mexico border, told the New York Times he has been disappointed by his interactions with Harris, who was tasked by President Biden with addressing the migrant border crisis. Vice President Harris on CBS News Sunday defends her actions.
I'm Vice President of the United States. Anything that I handle is because it's a tough issue, and it couldn't be handled at some other level.
USA Radio News.
Trust. Maybe a small word, but with huge ramifications. At Fellowship Home Loans, we want to be the mortgage lender that you trust.
Fellowship realizes that trust is earned and can easily be lost. That is why we listen not only to the wants, but also strive to understand the need.
Take a look at our Google reviews and our A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. But that's just the beginning. What matters is you.
Give us a chance to earn your trust, not just your business. Fellowship Home Loans, 800-804-SAVE. That's 800-804-7283 or online at fellowshiphomeloans.com.
We will listen and put together a plan to help make your dreams come true. Fellowship Home Loans, 800-804-SAVE. That's 800-804-7283 or fellowshiphomeloans.com.
Fellowship Home Loans, welcome home.
Intercontinental Capital Group, DBA Fellowship Home Loans, Equal Housing Opportunity Lender, MLS number 60134.
The Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas next month is where the latest and greatest electronics for the next year will be displayed. Several companies have now pulled out of the convention over fears of Omicron.
More and more companies have decided they will not be represented in Las Vegas, at least not firsthand, at the Consumer Electronics Show next month. Microsoft now the latest to say it will only participate in the CES remotely without any physical presence because of the concerns about the rise of the fast-spreading Omicron coronavirus variants. Amazon, Google, Facebook, Twitter, and many other big companies have bowed out already. Before the Friday report that Microsoft will be at the CES only remotely, Consumer Electronics Show officials saying last week the event will still go on, though, scheduled on January 5th through the 8th, with vaccination requirements, masking, and COVID-19 tests available for in-person participation. And from the New England Bureau of USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
We are USA Radio News.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Tapscott with me. He is a congressional correspondent to the Epoch Times. Incredible column he wrote. Democrats politicized House discipline in 2021. Are the GOP going to retaliate in 2023? I pray the answer is no, because I see this really heading down a road that there's no good that can come from it. First off, it'll paralyze Congress. The trust that the American people have for Congress will go lower than it already is, which I don't see how that can be, but it will. And the problem is that as people lose trust in Congress, then where do we go? Our government's in real trouble. The problem, though, right before the break, I highlighted with Mark, hey, you know what? Can Adam Schiff, can Maxine Waters say the things they're saying and then let this double standard go? And the answer is yes, because they control, so they can do whatever they want. They can partisan punish as they choose. And if you bring up libel, slander, and say you can't say or do that, yes, they can. They got a pass go card. This really kind of highlights the problem, doesn't it, Mark?
Yeah, it does, very much so. And but the solution under the Constitution, of course, is Election Day. And if the voters of Adam Schiff's district want to have an irresponsible congressman like Adam Schiff, that's one thing. But, you know, let's not put him on the Intelligence Committee and make him the chairman of the Intelligence Committee if he's going to be making irresponsible statements like that he can't prove. That's one of the reasons why, one of many, many, many reasons why it appears that Republicans are going to have retake the majority in November of 2022, and quite possibly by an historic margin, because Democrats, according to Douglas Schoen, who is a Democrat strategist himself and a very noted pollster, his most recent survey shows that the majority of Americans hold the Democrats in Congress and President Biden responsible for the fact the country is in as bad a shape as it is right now. So, you know, the founders were wise in making sure that we have an election every 2 years to replace the House of Representatives, because that gives us all an opportunity on a regular basis to make choices about who we want speaking for us in Congress.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's up to us. And you might say, ladies and gentlemen, that, you know, well, we don't have control of the elections. I understand that, but there's a lot we can do at the ballot box. If we, you know, get involved, I don't believe that it's over. I believe we can do things on the very local level, the county level, the precinct level, that can make a difference. Maxine Waters speaking out very boldly to the public in violent ways.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant...
She absolutely encouraged Democratic activists.
You get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere. And Mr. President, we will see you every day, every hour of the day, everywhere that we are, to let you know you cannot get away with this. Thank you so very much.
So she literally speaks to a crowd. Is she protected there too, Mark?
No, she's not. That was not stated in Congress. And that was incitement to violence, pure and simple. And in my view, that at least merited censure by the House of Representatives, and more appropriately would have been to refuse to seat her. I don't see that happening the way things are now, but left to me, if it was my decision, I would have censured her at the minimum.
But Republicans didn't seem to do much, did they?
Well, they couldn't do a whole lot on that in that case, because they didn't have enough numbers, and there were some people within the Republican Party who would have opposed it. Your comments in your opening about some Republicans are just moderate Democrats with a different label on them. It's very true.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is kind of the situation we face. I know we like to be critical, but a lot of times people's hands are tied, even though we don't think they are. And that's why I started out this whole broadcast with Mark highlighting that we don't just need Republicans, folks, because a lot of them are part of the swamp and they're betraying us. Every time we get close on something, we get betrayed by a swamp monster Republican that goes against us. Just look at the passage of the increased spending that just took place. Hey, it was Republicans that sold us down the river. Okay, same thing here. We've got to not only elect good, honest people, but people who really obey their party's platform, who really keep their oaths of office, Mark. And that's really the point of the whole article. Because if we do, we can go about our business and take action to restore the country, to protect the country, etc. Put people on committees that will have fidelity to these things. And we won't need to worry about this too much. But if we just elect any old Republican, we'll be in the same boat we're in now.
Well, a Republican Party made up of people like Liz Cheney is not a Republican Party. And it's that simple. So I'm very optimistic, Sam. I really have a tremendous faith in the wisdom of the American people. And we typically get right down to the worst possible moment, but then we make the right decision. And I think that in November 2022, an awful lot of Americans are going to go to the polls and say, I've had enough, and they're going to make the right decision.
I certainly pray you're right, because we need it, man. I don't know if we can handle another year of this plus from Biden and crew. They're literally, in my opinion, taking apart piece by piece everything that we hold dear.
That's true. But if you have a Republican House majority that has some spine, you can stop most of that. And what will then happen is Biden, President Biden, will use executive orders rather than asking Congress to approve what he's doing. And then the battle will shift into the federal courts. And that's a whole different story.
Ladies and gentlemen, all I can tell you is this. There's a lot of good things happening. Most of it's behind the scenes, and the media will not let you know about it. That's why we have Mark and others on your radio to highlight what's going on. You know what? Somebody in the media who's willing to literally tell you, hey, we've got kind of a bad thing going on here about this battling back and forth, politicizing the House. We need to stop it. We need to rise above it. We need to elect people who will go about the people's business in a meaningful way. That can happen in 22 if the people get the right information. And that's what the Epoch Times, really, that's the whole purpose of the Epoch Times, to be truth tellers, to give everybody the truth, let people decide for themselves. We have confidence, Mark, as you wisely pointed out, that, you know what, if we can get the truth in the hands of the people, they will make the right decisions.
Yes. Absolutely, and that is precisely the purpose of the Epoch Times. We do our best to report the news as factually and as straight as we possibly can. You know, we've all got our opinions. Sam, you've got yours. I've got mine. We all do. But when I sit down to write a news story, I have to present all of the facts to the best of my ability, and that's what all of us at the Epoch Times strive to do every day.
Ladies and gentlemen, there he is. Mark, we sure appreciate you. We appreciate your column. We appreciate the heads up on this. Last, what can we, the people, do to help make sure that this divide doesn't just continue to fester, but yet we can grow beyond it? Because that's what we've really got to do, is hold the moral high ground, right?
The most important thing that any American could do right now is to pray, number one. Pray that God will open the eyes of many people to see what's really happening. And the second thing is to get involved. You know, we have the greatest government that's ever been seen on the face of the earth, because every one of us has a voice in it. And if we don't take advantage of that, people who have very, very different views than we do, they will be making decisions that we ought to be speaking up about. So get involved. And that's on the local level, the state level, the federal level. Get involved and make your voice heard. That's the most important thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, pray and get involved at every level. Sound advice, ladies and gentlemen, from Mark Tapscott, congressional correspondent for the EpochTimes.com. Mark, thank you.
You are very welcome, Sam. Let's do this again sometime.
Roger that, sir. We appreciate you. There he goes. Mark doing a phenomenal job. Ladies and gentlemen, these are poignant issues. But I'll tell you what, we the people have incredible wisdom, and we've been in tight spots before in America many a times. If you don't believe me, ask General George Washington, right? But every time, if we turn to God Almighty, there's nothing that we can't accomplish. We thank the Epoch Times. They provide some of the best interviews ever. Quick pause. Sam Bushman Live. Liberty Roundtable on your radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Would you rather be a shepherd or a wise man is the question I asked the first hour. And now I'm trying to write notes, and I'm trying to say, Sam tells the story, right? The story of the fourth. What would it be? Fourth wise man? Or wise man? Wise space M-E-N? Anyway, very strange. I'm trying to work on my notes, and I'm literally having trouble here. I wish I was a little more educated there, you know? Anyway, Mark Tapscott doing a phenomenal job on your radio for the Epic Times. Democrats are politicizing House discipline in 2021. GOPers, if you will, might retaliate. Even the score in 2023, Mark Tapscott. Is that good? I don't think it's good. What are we to do? I asked Mark at the end of the interview, and he said, pray and get involved at every level. Amen to that. Pray, get involved at every level. That's what we got to do in America, ladies and gentlemen. That really is what we need to do. All right, I mentioned right before the end of the hour, last hour, about Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson on vaccinating children. He says it's insane. Why would we ever do that? It's a fair question. And I think that he's being very wise and prudent. One of the top surgeons in America, literally doubling down, going, why would we do that? That doesn't make sense. We shouldn't do it. I couldn't agree with Ben Carson more. Here's Ben's comments, then I'll talk about them.
Dr. Carson, you headed the pediatric neurosurgery unit at Johns Hopkins. Do you agree with the CDC's decision to vaccinate children 5 to 11 with the Pfizer vaccine?
Absolutely not. The fact of the matter is the mortality rate for children from COVID-19 is 0.025, which is very similar to the rate for seasonal flu. And we haven't been for years and years going through all these things for seasonal flu. Plus, we don't know what the long-term impact of these vaccines is. So this is really sort of a giant experiment. Do we want to put our children at risk when we know that the risk of the disease to them is relatively small, but we don't know what the future risks are? Why would we do a thing like that? It makes no sense whatsoever. And also, you know, getting to this whole idea of natural immunity. There have been a number of studies that have shown that it is very, very effective. You look at the Cleveland Clinic study, 1,300 of their healthcare workers who had been previously infected, none of them got reinfected. So I know the CDC is coming out with their recommendations and trying to spin yes. things their way. But, you know, we ought to look at all of the data. And then, you know, with the finances, just one more point. To count to a million, it would take you 12 days. To count to a billion, it would take you 31 years. To count to a trillion, it would take you 31,000 years.
Unbelievable.
So just to put that in perspective.
Think about that. To count to a million would be this. To count to a billion would be that. To count to a trillion would be that. I mean, it's just unfathomable, the difference. Why is he saying that? Because we're talking about deaths, right? ladies and gentlemen, we don't even have a million deaths yet from the COVID. We've had about 400,000 in 2020 and about 400, little over in 2021, kind of a range, little over 800,000 deaths, they claim. But we don't even have evidence that those numbers are factual at all. Okay, we don't. We know that about 3 million people to 4 million people die every year in America. And so when you have 400,000 out of about 3 to 4 million, you're talking about, what, 10% maybe of corona? At some point, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to step back from this and not act like this is such a gargantuan crisis. Ben Carson's points are so wise. All right? He basically says, look, this is really a grand old experiment. Why would we take a chance when it's literally a quarter of 1% that these children get infected, much less die? It's less than that when they die. Okay? We've had very few children die. Why would we take a risk on vaccinating all of them? Because whacked out Fauci says so? Ben Carson, Scott Atlas, many other critically acclaimed, Pierre Corey, many critical acclaimed physicians are saying, let's not go down this road. All right. For example, and this is very interesting, a virologist whistleblower says COVID-19 was intentionally created in a Chinese lab. Her name is Dr. Li Meng Yan. Dr. Yan joined Tucker Carlson several months ago, by the way. Let me repeat that. Joined Tucker Carlson several months ago and said that China's government intentionally released COVID-19. Yan said more evidence would be released. But she pointed to her own high-ranking position at a World Health Organization reference lab as a reason to trust her allegation. She says, my work in the WHO reference lab, or WHO reference lab, which is the top coronavirus lab in the world. It's in the University of Hong Kong, and that's where she worked. Well, anyway, she fled to America, and she's released more information. And what the mainstream press is doing is ignoring it. Other physicians are saying that it's shoddy and poor-reviewed and not factual. But when you add that to all the other evidence that Fauci literally knew that there was a great chance that it was leaked from a lab or intentionally released, but he chose to say, no, it came from a bird flu, or it came from a, you know, wet market or whatever. And then we, a year later, caught him lying, and he knew, according to the emails. Well, this lady, this Dr. Yan or whatever, basically says, hey, the emails prove that I'm telling you the truth. Well, here's the point. Whether she's telling the truth or not, I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a virologist. I'm not any of these things. But here's what I do know. Tucker Carlson came out with this a couple of months ago, folks. And she said she'd be releasing more information. Have you heard any debates about this? Have you heard any of the information coming forward that she released? Well, as far as I understand, she did release her information. So a whistleblower literally says, hey, it was created in a Chinese lab intentionally. And you know what? She joins Tucker Carlson, one of the biggest news makers in America, on Fox. China government intentionally released COVID-19. And she said more evidence would be released. And I look at that and I go, okay, think about this for a minute. If that did get released, whether we debate it and say that it's baloney or not, why aren't we hearing both sides of this? Why is every doctor that disagrees with Fauci, Trump, and Biden, why are they shut down completely? Trump's supposedly getting a new media organization set up, right? He keeps talking about it. I've never seen it. They even claim it's being shut down before I even get a chance to join it, that it's even up and running. And all that while, they beg for money. But meanwhile, what I find interesting is, where's Trump to advocate for Ms. Yan and say, hey, let's have an open discussion? Ben Carson says, I don't think we got to give these vaccines to kids. Well, Ben was in Trump's administration. Does Trump think we got to give vaccines to kids? Dr. Ben Carson sure doesn't. Okay, and so you start to look at this and you go, where's the open discussion and debate? Why are the whistleblowers at every turn just mocked and ridiculed and shut down and everything else? There's a shock story out of New Zealand now. Shock, doctors given bonus. That's right. Doctors given bonus to euthanize severely hospitalized COVID patients. Turns the ethos of medicine on its head, ladies and gentlemen. Live Action News is reporting this headline. The New Zealand government has announced that patients admitted to the hospital for COVID-19 can be killed via euthanasia. That's according to Scoop. Doctors, believe it or not, receive a government fee of $1,000 plus expenses for each person they kill through euthanasia. Ladies and gentlemen, can you believe this is really happening? This is just shocking. So while Sam Bushman is saying, hey, let's be kind, even to Biden and others, let's have a clarion call for civility, let's not take advantage of people because of their words, let's jettison this divide in America that Mark Tapscott, congressional correspondent for the Epoch Times, is highlighting. Let's back away from that. Let's find a way forward that's peaceful and kind and respectful. You got Dr. Ben Carson saying, look, let's look at all the evidence. Let's look at all the solutions. Let's look at all the ways to help people. And then you got a virology whistleblower that literally says, hey, this was intentionally leaked from a lab and intentionally created. Fauci said, no, it wasn't, and he lied for a year. But we're supposed to trust Fauci over this Chinese virologist? Where's the healthy debate about her information? Whether it goes her way or not, I don't know. But I know the healthy debate is vital. They've squelched. They've shut that down. She's just mocked and ridiculed as a quack. But everybody that disagrees with Fauci is now dubbed a quack, right? From Pierre Corey, who testified before Congress. Now you find out the doctors are given a bonus of $1,000 to literally kill COVID patients in New Zealand. Right? Yeah. Now, Biden's administration, he basically came out last week saying, I'm going to get tests in the hands of everybody. I'm going to order 500 million tests or whatever it is and get them in the hands of everybody. But you know what? Biden's lying to you again. Turns out the Biden's administration rejected a proposal back in October that would have provided rapid at-home COVID tests to Americans in anticipation of a surge in the holidays, or a surge during the holidays. He was given a proposal to do that, and he rejected it. That's according to Vanity Fair, a very liberal organization. Yeah. They rejected the proposal. There you have it. I thought I'd bring that to your attention. Now, a Navy ship stuck in port due to the COVID outbreak, the USS Milwaukee, temporarily unable to sail. Yeah, they had a fully vaccinated crew, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody was vaccinated, but it broke out. Fully vaccinated Hull in America cruise ship turned away after COVID-19 test positive reported. And now there's another headline that says three different ships going out of Florida in recent days have been stopped because of the coronavirus. So what you've got is on planes and on ships with mostly, if not all, vaccinated people literally breaking out in coronavirus after coronavirus after coronavirus infections. So this idea that breakthrough infections are rare now turns out to be a lie. If you don't believe me, ask the pilots that are all calling in sick even though they've been vaccinated, canceling over 4,000 flights over the Christmas weekend globally and well over 1,700 in the United States. And then all these ships being called back. And you go, the breakthrough infections are not rare like they claim. They lied again, and the evidence proves my point. Wow. Our prayers are for the greatest country on the face of the earth. Truth-telling is what we do best. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. Donate if you can. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.